I'm going. Beatrice?
Yes?
What kind of a mother are you? What kind of a wife are you? What kind of a person are you?
I am the ideal woman.
I am the ideal woman. Now, does that cover everything?
Yes.
Do you have to start saying what kind of an ideal woman you are? What kind of clothes the ideal woman wears? What kind of husband or children the ideal woman has? What kind of a world the ideal woman lives in? Are you the ideal woman?
Yes.
What's another spelling for woman?
I am myself, me.
God.
God. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm myself, me, God. The ideal woman, how do you spell the woman? Ellen?
W-O-N.
G-O-D.
Oh,
how do you spell woman?
G-O-D.
How do you spell woman? G-O-D.
G-O-D, God. Yes, sir.
You should really listen when I'm talking to you. This is part of what teaching is all about. I teach you to, whenever you think of, I'm the ideal woman, that's God. I'm the ideal man, that's God. I'm the ideal child, that's God. I'm the ideal world, that's God. Now, you say, well, I want to say that's heavenly, that's divine. I say no. 2 times 2 is 4, 2 times 2 is 4, 2 times 2 is 4. Now, there may be, and there probably is, a higher mathematics that will take 2 times 2 and make it a zillion pillion, you know, if there is such a number. Mm. And you see, we're not talking about that right now. You're learning basics. And the basic is, who are you, Ellen?
God. I'm God.
And who are you?
I am God.
Okay, yeah, that's better than a kick in the head. I am woman. I am the ideal woman. Now, I'm getting you to think that both are the same thing. And whenever you think ideal woman, you're thinking of God. You're thinking of the allness, the isness, the oneness, the totality, see? And when you're thinking of, what is this world?
God.
Super! It's the ideal world, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's God. Now, can God make an unideal world?
No.
Can God make an unideal Sylvia?
No.
Oh, boy. She passed that one, didn't she? Ingeborg? Can God make somebody who learns quickly and follows the program?
God can do everything.
The answer is yes. But God can do everything. That's true. But yes. So, we don't have to come up with an intellectualizing statement that shows that we intuitively, intellectually, so forth, understand something. What's your name? My name is Beatrice. What's your name? My name is God. What's your name? My name is woman. What's your name? I am divine. What's your name? I am... What?
God. I am God.
I am God. Yeah. And what do you say? I am what kind of woman?
I am ideal.
Ach, yeah, ideal woman. Are you the ideal?
Woman, yes.
Are you the ideal of all?
Yes.
Are you the ideal of the is, the anything and everything?
Yes.
Super, super, super. See, you see, when you remember to use these terms that we have, it's not a matter that they're right and others are wrong, but we're learning a little bit at a time, you see? Now, I'm going to give you a bag of silicon. And you're going to say, well, what should I do with this silicon? And so you give it to old dum-dum over here, old Sylvia. And Sylvia says, silicon, that's chips for computers. I'm going to make chips for computers out of the silicon that you give me. Oh, that's okay. Mm-hmm. So then, smarty, fatty, blah, Ellen over there, I give her a bag of silicon, and what does she say? She says, I'm going to play with it. I'm going to play with the sand, and I'm going to take my cars and run them all over the sand, and I'm going to play with the sand. So, see, for her, it's the sand, it's play. I give you a bag of silicon, and what do? you get out a compression gadget, probably mental, and you go, you take the silicon and you squish it and squish it and squish it, and then what do you have? Diamonds. Under so much pressure, you've taken substance and made it into diamonds. You've crystallized it. And you like that?
Yeah. You think, okay.
Now, but you see, that's only one of the zillion aspects of silicon. Now, Ingeborg, what would you do if you had silicon?
Silicon.
A bag of silicon.
A bag of silicon. I form.
And you could do anything.
I form a nice landscape. A landscape.
I knew that. You would use it as the foundation. You'd use it as the ground in which to plant flowers and trees and all that sort of stuff. And that's true. And that's Ingeborg. She would take her silicon and she would make a garden out of it. And that's lovely. And some people call it a desert, some people call it a garden, and it all depends on how you're handling it, you know. Beach, sand, you know. Okay, Precious, here's a bag of silicon for you. What are you going to do with it, huh? Yeah, you had a chance to think of what everybody else is going to do now. What are you going to do with it?
I still think what it is actually you're giving.
Silicon is sand.
Oh, sand!
You didn't get that off the right. It's sand. That's why Ellen's making a toy play box out of it. Okay. That's why Ingeborg's making a garden out of it. And that's why Sylvia is making silicon chips for her computer. Remember?
Mm-hmm. She makes diamonds.
Oh, yeah.
I think that. I built my whole world
and
out
your
of
friend.
Yes. You build your whole world out of what?
With a beach, with an ocean, with mountains and
trees. Oh, you're fundamental too, like Ingeborg. Huh? Yeah. That's okay. But of course, that's true. Now, what is silicon made up of? Atoms.
Atoms. Lots of atoms.
Well, no. Yeah, that's true. One grain of silicon, one grain of sand is made up of how many atoms, perhaps?
Oh, yeah.
Zillion. Millions of atoms. And how can that be? That's such a tiny little grain of sand that it can be a million atoms. Well, now, what makes those atoms form into whatever they form into?
My thought.
For you. And her thought for her, she. Now, what about the rest of you?
It's just you change the atoms. You change the structure of the atoms.
You change the structure of the atoms, or do the atoms always remain the same?
No, that
and
is
you just take the outer, make the atoms as your outer shell.
Right.
Make the atoms as your outer format.
Yeah.
The atoms of the tree, you know. Yeah. Some are sap, some are. Some are bark, some are this, some are that, you know. And what is the atoms of the ground? What's the atoms of your body, you know? Mm-hmm. Your lungs, your liver, your blood, your bones,
brain,
the whole works, you know. All the same. Same atoms. Why are we talking about undifferentiated stem cells? Interesting, isn't it? The stem cells are undifferentiated, just like the atom is undifferentiated, waiting to be put to work somehow. Can you see how this is one great, big, beautiful picture?
Yes.
And if you learn the fundamentals of this, if you learn the fundamentals of the concept of silicon or atom or what is it, our stem cell, our undifferentiated stem cell. You know, that our body is filled with undifferentiated stem cells. Now, why do we call them stem cells? Because they're cells that are differentiated to be utilized in the body. They're not cells differentiated to be used on the beach. They're not cells. You see, there is a differentiation in every cell anyhow of where is it going to go. But is it in the underlying atom? And there it is, no. The underlying atom can be formed into anything that we wish it.
Mm-hmm.
The stem cell, the undifferentiated stem cell, is the cell that is to be part of the body. Is that correct? It's to be part of the body. Now, what part is it going to be? The eye, ear, nose? We don't know. It doesn't know. Because it is going to be revealed to it what it's supposed to be by that inner working mechanism within it. Now, that is very strange and spectacular and mystical and mysterious, or is it?
No.
If you, Ingeborg?
Yes.
If you would get off of trying to redefine everything I tell you and just take the phrases and make them yours, and then once you've made them yours, then redefine it. But if you just go back to basics, go back to basics, go back to what is the, and I don't want to use the word just yet, but what is the guidance that moves you into utilizing your cells to the highest benefit? What is that essence, that concept? And the concept is intelligence. The concept is the universal intelligence, the universal wisdom, knowledge, intelligence, you see, and it's there. And you want to get your bloated nothingness in the way of the universal intelligence instead of, you wrote me another essay and I told you, take one topic and play with it, and you put a dozen topics in it again. And that's not wise. That's not wise. Learn to become individualized. Learn to become unique.
One-pointed.
There you go. Learn to become one-pointed. And what happens when you become one-pointed? Then you can go on to everything. Then you can go on to everything. Now, what did this monkey here say she was going to do with her silicon? What'd she say? Tell me, quickly. What did Anita say she was going to do with her silicon?
Her garden.
She was going to use it for her garden, her world, her for everything, right?
Yes.
Okay, now, who is the leading, guiding, directing, motivating force of her silicon? Anita. Her mind, her thought.
Yes.
Now, who is the motivating force of your silicon that you're going to use for your garden?
My mind.
And who's going to be yours for your diamond?
My mind.
Who's going to be so one-pointed that you pressurize that and bring that forth?
I.
You! Yes. That's right. Now, do you have to pressurize it to bring it forth? Or can you just say, it is done? You see? But if you want to play the game of going through the manipulations and the machinations that bring these things forth, that's okay, but you don't have to. What did God say when God created the world?
It was good and very good.
It is done. It is good and very good, and it is done. On the seventh day, he had a beer and sat back in his hammock and looked at what he created and said, oh, I'm all right. I'm all right. Now, do you ever do that?
Yes.
Today is Labor Day. And what are you planning on doing today? Sitting back in your hammock with a can of beer and saying, that's good, I did a good job here. Yeah. Or are you going to get in there and keep laboring? Which is okay, because we don't need one day or another. It's a concept. It's a concept of being appreciative of what you have and what you're doing. Now, if you will learn, not necessarily what I teach, but I do teach it, but if you will learn to be one-pointed, to be simple, to start at the bottom, start at the beginning, and then go on, you can go anywhere. Anywhere and do anything. You can dream your wildest dream, and it'll come true. Why is it that scientists come up with these amazing concepts and there's no proof to it, there's no reason for it, but they just had a glimmer? Why did Einstein come up with these silly concepts that the rest of the scientists said, I don't think so. I'm going to prove you're wrong. Well, they had something to do then. Scientists had nothing else to do until Einstein thought up something for them to complain about, you know. And so then they started to complain about it and think about it. But before that, they were complaining about thinking about other things, which weren't so exciting as what Einstein came up with, you see? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's silly. It's absolutely silly, but hey, that's okay. That's what life is. It's silly. Now, why do you eat every day? It's the silliest thing in the world. All you do is have it go through your body and dump it again, you know? When a little baby is born, he's born quite nicely, isn't he? Uh-huh. What does he live on? Just milk, you know? Or just, you know, mother's milk or whatever. And, well, goodness, all the goodness stuff that's in there. Yeah, that's true. But what is all? Why does he have to move on to meat and potatoes, you know? Why does he have to move on to veggies and all that sort of good stuff? That's because that's our consciousness. Our body doesn't need these things. These are concepts that we've built into it that we think is kind of enjoyable. Sitting around the table, talking, thinking, discussing, dreaming is fun. You know, having our family togetherness is fun. That's what we're being families for. That's what we're creating our bodies for. Our bodies are not to be ignored. We're not supposed to hide them under a sheet and let nobody see them, because we don't want anyone to be distracted from our intellectual conversation by our bodies. But no, our bodies are to be out there, shining around, being ourselves, carrying us around, and our bodies are to reflect how much we think of them. Are we fatty tummies or are we skinny tummies? Are we short, fat, thin, or whatever we are? What do we think of ourselves? Now, have you ever met anybody who was so interesting, and you talked to them, and you were just enamored by them, infatuated by them, and you never noticed that they were quadriplegic? They had no arms or legs. You never noticed it. Their charisma was so great coming out of their eyes and their words and their thoughts, you never even noticed that they were missing their limbs. You know, you didn't. Or you didn't even notice that they were wearing a fur coat in the middle of summer, you know. You didn't even notice any of these things, you know. And you see, this is the beauty of who we really are. Who we really are shines out of us. And our bodies are just our vehicle carry us around, and that's what it's all about. So play the game and get excited about life, and you'll be surprised at how much fun it is. So I say, you're undifferentiated, and you're differentiating yourself. Now, what do you want to differentiate? To be God or to be the grain of sand? It's up to you to make that decision, and it's a fun decision. So have lots of fun, and know that I love you, I love you, I love you.